The Last Word with Matt Cooper. Weekdays from 4:30.
It's almost with some trepidation that we look to our next item, because I know from experience that few things seem to divide people as much as the opinions about cyclists on our roads. Many motorists are quite disdainful of what they see as the behaviour of cyclists on the road. And then many cyclists are most upset by what they see as the lack of care and attention shown towards them by some motorists. Now, of course, we also have cyclists who are motorists, vice versa. But as it is National Bike Week, we are going to talk a little bit about a new campaign in relation to road safety with Geraldine Herbert, the motoring editor of the Sunday Independent. But first, Dr. Damien O'Tooma, National Cycling Coordinator with the Irish Cycling Campaign. Damien, if I can start with you, please. Tell us about the new engagement that Cycling Ireland is trying to have on the basis of concerns about road safety.
So, good afternoon. Yeah, the main thing happening at the moment is Bike Week, which is really, it's a celebration of all of the benefits of cycling. And you mentioned earlier on that, you know, we often pitch the debate between the different road users, but most road users are actually, they use multiple modes. I drive myself, I cycle quite a bit, and I definitely jump on the bus and know the public transport mode. So the week is all about reminding the public that we all use different modes, and the more people use bikes, it obviously, it reduces congestion and makes life a lot easier for people who do need to drive. So I think it's a big celebration this week. We had the King's Court to Navan Greenway opened, and there's a whole bunch of different schemes that are coming on stream at the moment, and each of these are offering people choice. They're reducing congestion, making us healthier. So there's a lot to celebrate at the moment. I know we focus on the negative sometimes, but I think this is actually a good week to celebrate some of the benefits of cycling.
Okay, but you mentioned a greenway opening there. So maybe if I can push this in a slightly different direction, and maybe that there are sort of two forms of cycling. There's leisure cycling that might be done on specifically selected routes. And then there's the sort of the day-to-day transportation to work and to school. And particularly when it comes to people going to work and to school, there are serious concerns as to whether it is safe for them to do so, particularly in urban areas. Now, how are we going to address that?
I think the countries that have really safe cycling cultures, you know, healthy cycling cultures for its men and women and older people and kids, and, you know, all the different demographic cohorts coming out, they have a good range of facilities. You know, the residential areas are much safer, lower speed limits, safer, tighter junctions. They have dedicated cycling routes, maybe bring you directly to sports grounds or schools or swimming pools or town centres. Then in other cases, they have, you know, they have dedicated bus lanes, dedicated cycle lanes, and good bike parking. So I think a strong cycling culture and a cycle-friendly environment, it has all of these different bits in it. And sometimes you're out for a leisure spin, other times you're commuting, but obviously during that commuter trip, you're also getting in your exercise. So I slightly challenge the suggested dichotomy between the different forms of cycling. Anytime you're on a bike, you're getting exercise. So it does also double up as that type of facility. So in terms of the safety, what's happening at the moment, as we all know, there's $360 million per annum being spent on improving walking facilities, cycling facilities, and that's really beginning to kick in now. There was a slow process initially of schemes going through planning, getting planning permission, going to tender, doing up the detailed designs, but now we're seeing contractors on the ground, and like that scheme in County Meath yesterday, they're opening. So that's where I see it going at the moment, Matt.
Okay, but Geraldine Herbert, how many more of these dedicated cycling facilities and improvements for the layout of roads are going to be required before many people believe it's safe for them or for their children to cycle?
I think there's going to need to be a lot, Matt. I mean, there is improvements, there's no doubt about that around the country. But I think when you speak to cyclists, one of the most common complaints from cyclists is the lack of consistency with cycle lanes. And there seems to be minimal oversight on the quality. So many don't comply with the government design manual, and there seems to be no repercussions if they don't. Then when they are built, there's issues around repair and maintenance of cycle lanes. So really, you need that consistency in order to encourage people. So it's very much a lottery at the moment as to where you are in the country, as to what sort of cycling facilities you have. And I think that's one of the biggest issues. And I think in terms of cycle lanes, you know, if it's somewhere that you would let your, you know, would I let my child cycle here? If the answer is yes, then that's a cycle lane that's fit for purpose. Unfortunately, not all of them fulfil that requirement.
Well, Geraldine, that's a very interesting point, because we get lots of complaints from listeners who say, why aren't the cyclists in the cycling lanes, and why are they coming out onto the road where they're sharing space with cars and trucks and buses? But how often is it down to the fact that the cycling lane itself is probably not safe or fit for purpose, and that maybe a wise cyclist thinks that rather than going into a pothole and coming off the bike in the cycling lane, they might be safer on the road?
That's exactly it, Matt. And when you, as I said, when you talk to cyclists, depends on where they're living or in the country, but that is a big issue. There's also an issue of a lack of continuity of segregated lanes. So you get segregated lanes for a short time, then they're gone. And what happens is these segregated lanes encourage maybe new cyclists to cycle, but then suddenly they're being left in a much more dangerous situation when that cycle lane runs out, and they might be then forced on the road, or they might be in a different cycle lane with just a few wands or something. So, I mean, you know, we really need to get, the money has been spent. It's not a lack of funding. It seems to come down to a lack of commitment in the local authorities, a lack of experience, and in some cases just, I suppose, a lack of will to prioritise cycling over maybe, you know, walking infrastructure and new pavements and stuff like that. So there definitely is, the money is there, but there's no consistency in how it's been spent.
And Damien O'Toole, how well are we actually conditioned to using the facilities properly, in that you often hear complaints as well that cyclists go up onto footpaths where they shouldn't be, but equally you have pedestrians walking on cycle lanes are allowing their dog to wander onto a cycle lane, even if on lead.
Yeah, look, I'm a dog walker myself as well, and I think, look, if you're out walking your dog, you keep your dog on the footpath, and if you're out cycling, you stick to the cycle lanes, or you're in the main general traffic. I think the point is there needs to be slightly better, much better quality of design, for the different areas are clearly demarcated, they're sufficiently wide, they're clearly thought through at junctions and not mixed up, which does happen at lots of junctions, unfortunately, where, you know, people walking and people on bikes are mixed up. And we, as in our recycling campaign, we advocate that you have much higher quality design, so it's a much better design solution for everyone. I think we're on a journey, Matt. You know, 20 years ago, 30 years ago, in the early 1990s, we were just beginning to think about dedicated space. I think our design guidance has improved. The quality of training for engineers has come on a good few steps. And now we need to, you know, we need to assess the quality of what's been spent. And we're continually learning by doing. And that's the way one makes progress as a society.
Geraldine Herbert, to go on the road as a motorist, you have to have a license and you have to have insurance. Should we be looking at something similar for cyclists?
No, I don't think so. I mean, you only have to look at the impact of even compulsory helmet wearing. It reduces cyclist numbers. We're trying to encourage people to cycle. And I think cycling should be something that should be simple. You know, you just pick up a bike and you go. You should have, you know, you learn as a child and you carry it through. And I think we would only be complicating the matter, and we would have very little impact for a huge, in terms of what we'd achieve by it. But the counterbalance would be we would reduce the numbers of cyclists drastically.
What do you think, Damien O'Toole, on that? Because we have people who say that, you know, again, particularly if a bike is involved, is responsible for a collision, such as colliding into a car, maybe taking a wing mirror off, or in worst cases, in hitting a pedestrian. And there are cases, I see in the last decade in the UK where figures are available, for example, there are 30 examples of pedestrians being killed by speeding cyclists.
I think we should take the lead as to what's happened, aquatics in the school curriculum and the primary curriculum. About 20 years ago, there was a big effort to bring, you know, mandatory swimming into the primary school curriculum. You know, at a primary school level, every school child should leave school with really good bike skills, bike craft, communications with other road users. And if that's introduced, that has a lovely ripple effect through them going to secondary school, into college. And, you know, and subsequently, some of them might end up driving, they'll end up using other modes, and everyone is a winner in that situation. So I think that's where the investment needs to go. And we're currently, there's a consultation open at the moment on a review of our primary school curriculum.
Hold on, sorry. Is that fair now on teachers who have a lot to do to actually expect them to take on a responsibility that surely should be left with the parents of children as to how to conduct themselves properly on their bike and in use of the roads?
I think the best solution is to have specialist cycling trainers coming into schools, absolutely not putting more pressure on the school teachers, but that these experts come into the schools, provide the training, give them the know-how, and that indeed can be complemented by parents going out and starting off on the greenways, like the ones that I've just opened from Navan to King's Court, you know, trying out the greenways down in Waterford and Mayo and Kerry and all the places they're going up, because you have a motor traffic-free environment there where the parents can go out, give the kids the skills, go out and have a good day. Then they come back home to the residential areas, you know, which are, you know, lower speed limits, much safer. The kids build up their skills and confidence there, and really everyone wins with that sort of approach.
Well, I'll definitely ask you about that, Geraldine Herbert. What do you think of that possibility of setting up special squad of teachers, maybe cycling from school to school, where they go in then and give tuition to primary school students?
I think that's actually a really good idea. And I mean, the thing about it is, it's very hard for people, you know, in their 40s and 50s to take up cycling. Cycling should be something people learn as a child, and then it's a skill for life. So definitely, if we want to grow a cycling culture, we have to start in the schools. But I would also suggest that when it comes to, you know, secondary school kids, and we hear a lot about road safety initiatives in secondary schools, that they learn, you know, to be a road user rather than just to be a car driver. We have a lot of talk at the moment about teaching transition kids to, you know, to learn to drive. I'd be very much against that. I'd be very much in favour, though, of them learning what it's like to be a different road user and, you know, the point of view of the pedestrian, the cyclist, you know, the HGV driver, the car driver, the whole lot, but not just making it so car-centric in transition year.
Thank you very much, Geraldine Herbert, motoring editor of the Sunday Independent, and Dr. Damien O'Tooma, National Cycling Coordinator with the Irish Cycling Campaign.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper, weekdays from 4:30. Today.